Padres with a one-run lead. They are looking for more, much more, with Jerkson Profar at the plate. Here's the 2-0 pitch. Profar hits it in the air, deep down the right field line, towards the corner, gonna go! Here's the pitch. And that's it in the air to deep left field. Did he do it again? Oh boy, did he! Third balcony Western medal! And the Padres have gone slam Diego against the Nats.
Wham, bam! Thank you, Slam. Padres back-to-back nights with the big home runs, and what a series as they take down the Washington Nationals. Three straight, finishing it off today with an 8-5 victory at Petco Park. Welcome into Gwynn and Chris. Short edition here on this Wednesday evening. We once again are the pregame show for the Scraby Chronicles that get underway at 6 o'clock tonight. Matt Scraby will take you right up until 7 p.m. But I'll tell you what, Scraby, it's been quite a 24 hours out at Petco Park, finished off today by the performance of Kyle Higashioka. Two-run homer. Had a base hit to set up the two-run rally that they had in the fourth inning as well. Scored a run there. And then threw out a base runner trying to steal. And if that wasn't enough, finished it off with the grand slam, his first of his career. Back-to-back nights that the Padres get grand slams. And they hold on as the Nats came alive for a 5-run ninth inning, but too little too late. And the Padres close out a beautiful homestand, 6-1 Scrape. Padres have won 7 of their last 8 games, and in doing so, just like that, have gone from 3 games under 500 to a season best 3 games over 500. I know you don't care because you are not paying attention to the standings until August 1st.
You know what, Chris? You're right. I looked at
the... You do too. I saw all of your tweets.
I didn't say anything about the standings.
Oh, you did. Yeah,
I didn't say anything about the standings.
I saw one tweet. And one tweet,
yeah,
which I think said it all for you, and I think it was something to the effect of, I'm feeling really good about this team. That's what you said.
I said, I don't know who this team is, but I love it.
Oh, all right.
I didn't say anything about the record, and honestly, I did look at the record today, and I thought, I'm not going to get ahead of myself. I've done this twice this year, getting ahead of myself, thinking the Padres are on their way to the World Series, and then things happen.
All right, before we get too excited, let's just caution you. Back on June 1st, the Padres beat Kansas City to improve to a then season best 3 games over 500. They then proceeded to lose 5 games in a row, 3 of which came in Anaheim against the last place Angels.
I forgot about that, actually.
Padres bounced back from all of that, had a good run of games, swept the A's here, back-to-back walk-off wins, couldn't get more exciting than that. One night it was Higashioka, the next day was Jackson Merrill. Everything was looking up, and they immediately lost 5 games in a row again. Now they're back on top, back to 3 games over 500. How will it play out this time? Well, first, they'll have a day off as they travel to Boston. That's where Tony is as he moves along with the team to the East Coast. 3 games against the Bo Sox. First trip to Boston, by the way, since 2011. It's been 13 years since the Padres have played a game at Fenway Park.
That's why it's cool that this new schedule, but it'll be old like the third time we see it.
That's right. I'm going to drop my name here, but I ran into Don Orsillo after the game last night, and I said, yeah, that's a good one to drop. If you're going to drop a name, drop that one.
You dropped Sammy Lev on Twitter, too, so you're just name-dropping all over the place.
I hang out with only the finest people, Scraby, I must tell you, including yourself.
Oh, thank you.
But, no, I was excited for Don. He's going back to Boston. He goes, well, honestly, he goes, he's looking forward to it, but he said it's been 9 years since he's been the broadcaster of the Red Sox. And he's been here that long. That's incredible how time flies.
That is.
But it's his first trip back to Boston with the Padres. He said he had gone back to do a couple of Fox TV games. He was looking forward to it. After Boston, you swing through Dallas, take on the Texas Rangers. And then after that, you've got an 8-game homestand, Arizona, Seattle, Atlanta. And that's it for the first half of the season. You're on into the All-Star break. So, everything is fantastic. The game today was honestly was kind of ho-hum. I mean, it wasn't if you're a Kyle Higashioka fan.
No, no.
It was a great day.
Which I am, Chris. Which I am.
I know you are, and I've been, you know, especially excited with Higashioka because I was the one who called him out about a month ago for not contributing, right? But, man, did he ever contribute in the month of June? He had 6 home runs already this month.
And it's not even over.
It's not even over. He's had a walk-off game-winning home run. He's had a grand slam game with 2 home runs. Yeah.
He's had some big home runs.
I mean, Higashioka's done it, man. And I'll tell you one thing. You know, Camposano better mind his P's and Q's because he comes back. I don't think you automatically give him the starting job back.
No, and he plays great defense. So when he's hitting and he's doing his thing as a catcher, they're stealing.
Yeah, Camposano's going to have to work his way back into the lineup when he gets healthy. But, you know, today was kind of an afterthought. I mean, really, in my mind, everything we're going to remember about this series happened last night. I mean, this was, you know, honestly, Scrape, and I saw a lot of people say it, and I agree with them. It was one of the best regular season games played in the month of June that you could ever see. I mean, it just had so much going, and whoever wrote the script for it last night.
Oh, yes. Script
just
writers.
hand them the Emmy. Hand them the Academy Award.
Never would have thought about any of these storylines.
No. You couldn't have asked for anything better than the Manny Machado home run. I couldn't believe it. I had chills. So did everybody else in the ballpark.
You were there, right?
Yeah, I was there. You could feel the emotion coming from the crowd, the fans, and Manny himself, Profar dancing around the bases. But to have that happen after everything that preceded it, again, you can't write that script. And then for the Nationals to come back and, you know, you talk about good versus evil. You know, Jesse Winker did a pretty good job this week of playing evil.
He did.
And then he hits a home run to give them the lead. So, you know, the bad guys were ahead for a while. And then Profar, you know, gets the last bomb.
My goodness.
I mean, his season of magic just is, it's an amazing thing to see. It's absolutely amazing to see. You know, what's he got? 55 RBIs now. And the thing with Profar, Scraby, it has not been a hot streak. It's been a hot season.
Yeah.
They put it up on the board today or on the telecast. He's one of only 3 guys in baseball who have driven in 17 runs in each of April, May, and June. So he's been consistently doing it the entire season. It's not like he's had one real hot streak and just put up some ungodly numbers. He's been doing it all year, and you know, he drove in another run today, which just seems like an afterthought. But I'll tell you, that last night, you asked me, was the Manny home run as exciting as the Brandon Drury Grand Slam the day they, you know, brought Soto in and, you know, everything, and Josh Bell came and the Padres
had already won the World Series.
Had already basically won the World Series. We're never going to lose another game.
Yeah, I heard people in my neighborhood screaming when that happened.
Yeah, Drury's Grand Slam was amazing. I got to tell you, the Manny Machado home run last night, the timing of it was right up there. Right up there. That's how great it was. And I asked you to pull the home run call.
I have both of them.
Yeah, I want to hear both of them. I just want to hear that home run again and again and again. So start with our call, Jesse Agler on Padre Radio. But the Manny home run after everything that happened, you're kidding me.
Here's Machado. And he swings at the first pitch, hits it a mile to deep left field. What an answer from Manny. Maybe the longest homer I've ever seen to left at Petco Park. 2-0 San Diego in the bottom of the first inning, and Profar raises his hands as he rounds third base. Machado taking the slowest trot you'll ever see him take. Only about halfway to third base, and this place is electric.
good job, Jesse. Yeah. I felt it because I was driving home last night, and I was like,
"You would have jumped out of the car
because I couldn't see anything." And so I heard Cabert Ruiz getting in Profar's face. They did a good job of breaking that down, and then they had to fill like 10 minutes as everybody was muddling around the field. But when he hit that home run and Jesse's voice went up,
that was awesome.
I wanted to park and just like jump around.
Yeah, Tony got a good in there.
I love the Tony.
That had to be in there. I mean, because you had to be that excited. So that was Jesse's call last night. Here's Don Orsillo's TV call. And I mean, I consider Don to be kind of a mild-mannered broadcaster who gets excited at the right times.
Yes.
But he was fired up.
He was.
One out, one on. And Manny Machado will see if he can make a pay. High drive, deep left field. Rinker back at the wall. Take that, says Manny Machado. Profar's fired up, and he should be. They hit him intentionally, and then Manny hits one out of the yard intentionally. And the Padres take a 2-0 lead. How about them apples?
Oh, man. I get chills listening to both of them.
Yeah, let me hear those two calls. Just the rest of the show.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even care if we talk. I can hear those two calls the rest of the night. That was amazing. And for Don Orsillo, off the cuff, to be able to put in there, Profar fired up, and he should be. They hit him intentionally, and then Manny homers intentionally.
Yeah.
Oh, that was
I got to say, we're
fantastic.
We're very lucky for our broadcast teams because they both have a very different picture to paint with that home run, and they did a great job.
Oh, that was fantastic. I want to hear those again before the end of the show.
No problem, Chris.
And then I think we should preempt your show tonight and just listen to it some more. All right, here's the thing. You heard in the call by Don Orsillo, they hit Profar intentionally, Manny homers intentionally. And that brings up the question everybody's honestly been asking the last 24 hours. Did Mackenzie Gore hit Jerkson Profar intentionally? I have a one-word answer to that. Yes. That's my answer to it. I don't think there was any question that he hit him intentionally. I don't think there was any question that Dave Martinez, the manager of the Nationals, ordered it to be done. I believe Dave Martinez all but admitted that in the post game when he was asked about the fracas, and he said, we needed to send a message that we weren't going to tolerate that. Well, what they didn't want to tolerate was Profar celebrating Monday night, and the message they sent was either Keibert Ruiz pushing Profar, which I don't think was much of a message, or hitting him with a pitch, which is exactly what they did.
They did, and here's Davey Martinez talking about it.
That's all it really took, you know. But for me it was a good way to send a message, like, hey, you know, great, you hit the ball, you won the game, but we're not going to tolerate that. So
there you go. I mean, he basically said it right there. I mean, we're going to send a message. How the umpires could overlook this? Only seconds after issuing a warning to everybody on the field and pretty much everyone in the ballpark is beyond me.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. And you know, if anyone's going to stick up for an umpire, it's probably going to be me. But it's not going to happen this time.
Can't.
Those guys risked something really, really bad happening last night by not ejecting Gore. What if when Ruiz came up, in the next inning, the Padres ordered Adam Mazur to hit him in the leg? Would that have been okay? You couldn't have then turned around and thrown Mazur out of the game after you let Gore get away with hitting Profar in the leg. And then what if that escalated to the next time Profar came up and the next time Ruiz came up and on and on and on? The umpires, their job to me isn't necessarily to interpret whether or not Mackenzie Gore did it on purpose. Their more important job in that situation to me is to make sure that this baseball game, which is already teetering, does not run off the rails. And they gave it a chance to do that by letting Gore stay in the game. I I think baseball owes an explanation.
Well, they gave one. They gave one.
What was it?
After the game, the umpire said, I didn't think he did it intentionally.
Okay, well, they baseball.
And I threw out Mike Shildt because he was arguing that.
Yeah, I understand why they threw out Mike Shildt, but they left themselves in a situation where that was all that was left to them. Because if they didn't throw out Mike Shildt, he'd still be out there arguing. Like, he would have never stopped.
Yeah,
I don't blame him. He would have gone out there for an hour and a half. He would have pulled a good old Earl Weaver for you because it was ridiculous. And I really don't think it's Homer of me to say that you could have kicked Ruiz out for inciting the whole thing in the first place, getting in the face of Profar. I'm not surely sure that's something that you should be allowing, but you did. And the bench is emptied because of that.
Yes.
So Ruiz could have been kicked out. Gore could have been kicked out for throwing the pitch. Dave Martinez should have been kicked out for all of it. Because, as he admitted after the game, we wanted to send a message. So, awful job by that crew last night. And, you know, honestly, we're all kind of lucky that the game, instead of deteriorating, some cooler heads somehow prevailed. Although I don't know how cool.
I think Manny's home run really, really took the Nationals out of it because they can't be mad about that. They're mad about good plays is what they're mad about.
No, but Profar's dancing around the bases after that.
Well, that was like such good.
It could have got worse.
It could have.
It could have.
And Manny taking his sweet time to get around the bases. It could have. You're right.
Manny is, by the way, is still, if you look down at Petco Park, he's still standing in the batter's box after that home run. Yeah, I was appalled by the umpires last night. And I always try to find a way to stick up for them. But I didn't get that. But you know what? In the end, it turned out to be one of the great regular season games, you know, I think I've seen in a long, long time. And I turned to Annie. I'm going to drop another one. Annie Heilbrunn's. This is how good the game was last night. I don't want to be out of school here. But Annie normally sticks around for 5 or 6 innings.
Because she has a long day.
She has a lot to do. Yes. She's got her show. She's got to get home after the Padres. She does so many things. Then she's got to get up the next day. I turned to her in about the 8th inning. I said, "What? You're still here?" And she's like, "Oh, I can't leave this game." Like, you just couldn't.
Yeah.
It was too good. And I almost, you know, if it wasn't for Suarez, you know, you feel so confident with him. But in the 9th inning, Ha-Seong Kim made an unbelievable play. Arise can't catch the throw. Abrams gets a hit. The tying run comes to the plate. And I'm thinking, oh, man, if this guy hits a home run and ties this game, it's going to be certifiable.
By the way, if they lost today, the Padres, I was planning on coming on here and saying that you jinxed the team by saying that you were afraid of C.J. Abrams, because he did have a really good 2 games in this series.
Well, he had a good 2 games, but he doesn't understand how to lead off first base very well. Got picked off twice last night. Once because he just was being a lazy bum over there.
Yeah.
So
a lazy
that was
bum.
That was some lousy.
I miss the term bum when you're talking about an athlete.
I'm sorry. That was a terrible play by a major league ball player, but that's neither here nor there.
I have one quick thing to say to everyone, because we have a really fun chat going on YouTube right now. So if you want to join the conversation, you can. Just go to YouTube, search 97.3 The Fan. We're live right now. And when you're there, make sure you do the thumbs up on the YouTube.
We would appreciate that. More Gwynn and Chris on the way. The NBA draft, for those that absolutely positively have to follow it, is underway. And we'll let you know, et cetera, what's going on there. I think the Hawks have already made
the
first pick.
I don't remember who they picked.
They picked who everybody thought they were going to pick. The small forward from France, Zachary Risacher or whatever.
Chris asked me before, maybe like
I know, I was like, look up his name because I don't know how to pronounce
15
it.
15 seconds before the opening.
I know,
like,
this guy's going to be the number one pick and I don't know how to pronounce his name. And guess what? I still don't know how to pronounce his name, but he's on the Hawks. All right, we'll keep you up to date with that. More Gwynn and Chris coming up.
Oh, my. And Manny Machado is walking to the first base.
Yeah, Profar is continuing on. And they're going to empty their dugout like it's...
He didn't know where to go with that.
Yeah, I guess like they're gonna empty the dugout like they just stuck it up your you know what,
ooh,
pal.
That's why they
emptied that dugout. Make no mistake about it. That's how it sounded on Washington Nationals TV last night when Manny Machado got the ultimate blast. Following the intentional, I believe and most believe, hitting of Jerkson Profar by Mackenzie Gore. Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. And Scraby asked me, he said, if you're going to hit him, why'd he hit him in the leg?
Yeah.
And I said, because if you hit him in the leg, the umpires might be stupid enough to fall for it. And that's exactly what they did. They fell for it. They left him in the game.
They did.
I mean, if he would have hit him above the waist, then even the dumbest ump on earth would have had to throw him out of the game. But these guys, you know, they fell for it. They're like, oh, no, he didn't do it intentionally. And the funniest thing was the look on Mackenzie Gore's face after he hit him. Did you see it?
I like the home run.
Okay, but watch the hit by pitch again, and you'll see Gore gives it the old, ah, jeez.
Oh, like
throws his arms up to the heavens,
like he was acting. My,
like, how in the world did I do that?
Oh, I had no idea.
Oh, it was so obvious.
I had no idea.
Come on, umps, get with it. But you know what? Glad they left him in. Not only did they leave him in, and Manny made him pay the ultimate price.
Sure did.
Something else we should mention, Scraby, because we have overdone it on this show and on Twitter, and we've overdone it because it has blown me away. But last night, the Padres snapped their streak of 24 consecutive games not scoring more than three runs against a left-handed starter. They not only snapped it last night by scoring five runs off Gore, they did it again today by scoring four runs against DJ Hers. So hopefully we can just put that thing to bed and not have to mention it anymore.
See, this is why you're on the show, because I don't pay attention to stuff like that.
And that
is the only reason, Chris.
No, I'm kidding. No, but I mean, you know, that was a long stretch. It was over 2 months that they didn't, you know, hit anything off left-handed pitching. But last 2 days, they were able to turn that around. If you're just tuned in, Padres won today 8-5 to finish up the sweep. It was a blowout. Kyle Higashioka took care of all that with a two-run homer and a grand slam. Washington did score five times in the ninth inning to make it a little more interesting, but certainly not as interesting as everything that happened last night.
We worried. I know Tom Cosgrove is too. He's just coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Are we a little worried about Tom Cosgrove?
Well, I'm not. You know, I'm not pitching Tom Cosgrove in high leverage situations for the time being. You know, I was honestly one of the things that we didn't think about today was, you know, Matsui got in there and pitched a clean inning. And, God, it's been a long time since he's done that. In the eighth inning with a 4-0 lead, they brought in Matsui. I bet you a couple of people got uneasy when they saw him.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
he hasn't.
I did.
But, you know, the thing is, I mean, these are guys that you have to – you're going to have to get the job done with. So when they're struggling, you have to find a way to get them back to not struggling. I mean, that's part of, you know, managing and running a baseball team. So Cosgrove pitched poorly today. Morejon gave up a couple of hits, but, you know,
all in all,
I'm going to be pretty happy about what happened on this homestand.
Oh, of course. Yeah. This is one of those moments where I had something. Oh, can I say how wrong I was about someone, Chris? Yeah. I was very wrong about the addition of Donovan Solano. He's been pretty big for this team. He gets the hits when they need him. He is seemingly always on base. He plays good defense. He had the go-ahead RBIs last night.
He did.
I was very wrong about his addition to the team.
He's been, I wouldn't say I was a whole lot more right than you were. When they got Donovan Solano, I didn't think he was going to change the complexion of things very much. But, you know, frankly, I think he has. He's been a very good addition to the team. And, you know, I think, you know, look, you got Peralta. You got you add John. I mean, they're doing it with glue and feathers right now and tar, I guess, is feathers. But, I mean, how many teams in baseball – I said this yesterday, and Tony agreed with me. How many teams in baseball can you take their four highest paid players off the roster?
and have them continue
and
to
have the team do well. I mean, you know, I guess Manny's probably the highest, but or right there. But of the five highest paid players, Darvish, Musgrove, Manny, Bogarts, Fernando, four of them are out.
Yeah.
I don't know too many teams that can win games under those circumstances.
Is there anything, and this is me looking at the negative side, but is there anything to the fact that maybe Xander Bogarts wasn't producing at the time? And so
the guys that are playing are?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I'm going to welcome Xander Bogarts with open arms.
I'm not going to say I'm happy that he's out.
Yeah, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, maybe
you kind of are.
No, I'm not. Now, I think there's going to be a huge drop off, and I don't want it to be for right field. No one can do what Fernando does.
No,
and the hot streak he was on going into the injury.
Well, that's what we were talking about yesterday. I mean, in the Big Five, are the Padres going to make a trade to get an outfielder?
Yeah.
Why would you trade somebody else just to get somebody who's not going to be as good as Fernando? I mean, who are you going to get that's going to be as good as Fernando? No one.
No one.
So. I don't know that I'd be looking to hurry up and make a trade right now in that regard. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. We got one more segment to go. Then the Scraby Chronicles take over, and you'll get Matt Scraby's own who knows where it comes from take.
We're also going to do something on this, real fun.
On this Padre streak here.
Yes.
We'll update you on the NBA draft. Already four picks have been made. And Scraby and I have been hard at work trying to research how to pronounce the name of the player that the Hawks took with the first overall pick in the draft. We'll tell you the results of that search when we come back.
Voy a hacer una noche larga. Palo por el jardín izquierdo. Machado con todo la va a sacar. Se va, se va. Se fue hasta la pizarra. El ministro, Machado, Machado, viva Dominicana, Dominicana, ra, ra, ra. Y vuelve a celebrar Profar, levanta a la gente de sus asientos, corriendo las bases delante de la cueva de Washington. Ahí viene el ministro por tercera, swing de dos carreras. El hombre que sigue haciendo la historia de Parque Petco como el número uno de los hombreneros en este escenario. 2-0, padre.
Zillow's call may have to take a back seat to that now.
That was pretty good.
Eduardo Ortega on the Padres of Spanish Network with that call
that's
last
gravy.
Night.
That's gravy. Ra, ra, ra.
Remember when he called me hitting a home run off of you?
Off me. Yeah. Eduardo. Very good. Eduardo, that was Manny's moment last night. Kylie Gashioka had a couple of those moments today, a two-run homer, a grand slam. If you're just tuning in, Padres completed the sweep of the Nasty Nats 8-5 was the final score.
Is that what they call them?
That's what I'm calling them. Okay. After what, you know, they stirred up a whole hornet's nest around here.
They really did stir up a hornet's nest.
Yes, they came
or
into town.
Nest.
They either came to town and stirred up a hornet's nest, or they stirred up a bunch of Padres because, you know, only time is going to tell whether what happened this week is kind of the jumping off point for the Padres to take off this season. And, you know, like you said correctly and I said, we are excited right now, but we've been here before this season, and it seems like every time we've been here, they've lost five in a row. So let's hope this road trip turns out a little differently. All right, Gwynn and Chris, Crisello, Matt Scraby together in the Odyssey Palace Studios. A check of traffic and then a quick check on the NBA draft, which is underway. All right, back here on Gwynn and Chris. Until the top of the hour, then Scraby takes over with the Scraby Chronicles. You get a show the next 2 days. Am I correct?
Do. Yes, I'm very excited about it.
Don't forget tomorrow morning to tune in at 10 a.m. Ben and Woods, Gwynn and Chris. I don't know if Tony will be with us.
I think it's just Chris because he's
probably
in Boston.
Just Chris, Annie and Elston, all of us together for the Padre Roundtable. It'll be an hour of commercial-free Padre talk tomorrow. I look forward to that. I'm excited to hear what everybody's take is on this three-game Padre sweep of the Nationals, which was completed today. NBA draft is underway. The fanfare for the NBA draft, I mean, they put it on ABC television tonight for the first round. I don't know just how nerdy NBA fans are, But I would think, and let's just use Tony as an example. Tony's a big-time NBA fan.
He loves it.
Loves it. I think I'm a pretty good fan. I like it.
You both like it a lot.
He likes it probably more than I do, but I like the NBA. I follow it very closely. Five picks have been made in the first round. I've only heard of two of these guys, actually even ever heard of them, and neither of them are exactly household names. Reed Sheppard was taken with the third pick. He's a guard out of Kentucky. He went to the Rockets. Stephon Castle, who I only remember because he played against the Aztecs this year in the NCAA tournament.
Right. That's right.
For UConn, went to San Antonio with the fourth pick. But the other picks are foreign players and G League players. And that's great if you are beyond a nerd and you know who these guys are. But the NBA draft has lost me completely.
Me too.
I mean, you know, if nothing else, they need to hire the basketball version of Mel Kiper Jr. just to piss me off.
They do. They have like
right?
Rhodes,
they have
all those guys.
Yeah, but those guys aren't blowhard, know everything's, you know, like Mel Kiper.
So maybe Mel Kiper does serve a purpose.
He does. He gets you to tune in because you can't stand the guy. But the NBA needs somebody like that. This is really, you know, it's a big night for the kids, the families. I get all that. But for the casual fan, man, this NBA draft has lost me. Now, as far as the first round pick is concerned,
we've been hard at work.
We've really been hard
up.
At work on this
up.
Guy. He was selected by the Atlanta Hawks. He's from France. He's a French basketball, professional basketball player. He was actually born in Spain. Grew up in Lyon, which is where I went on vacation last year. I was
did
there.
You say hi?
I didn't know him. Okay. I didn't never heard
didn't
of him.
Didn't know him.
Had no idea who he was, but he grew up in Lyon, France, where I happened to spend a little time last summer. His name is Zachary. We're pretty sure about that part. The second, his last name is spelled R-I-S-A-C-H-E-R. And I think if you look at that from the English way of looking at things, it comes out Risacher. But we know that's not right. So we looked it up, and we came up with two or three different pronunciations. We really haven't come up with the emphatic, you know, this is how it's pronounced. But it's looking like Rizache. Re, which is the R-I part. Za, S-A. And then C-H-E-R is pronounced She.
Oh, that's great, because I'm going to forget that tomorrow.
Yeah. So
and
anyway,
I'll never hear from him again. He's not going to be Wembanyama.
Well, he's going to play for the Hawks, so you'll probably have to hear about him thanks to your guy Adam Klug. But Zachary Rizache, at least as far as we can tell, is the way they pronounce it. And he was the number one pick in the draft. All right. We've got about 10 minutes left on the program. And, you know, I just want to talk again about Jerks and Profar and this guy and his ability to be there at every big moment. And, you know, I said it the other day on Tuesday's show that they should have never walked Arise in the first place to face him Monday night just because of the kind of season he's having. And then last night, just right in the middle of all of the crazy stuff that happened in the bottom of the first inning, and then finishes it with the grand slam. And I don't know what else this guy can do.
Well, he's already locked up his starting spot.
He's got to be, right? The starter in the All-Star game at this point.
He just keeps producing. He keeps doing things that are winning the Padres games.
Yeah. He's going to be the starter in the All-Star game for sure. That is so well deserved. Really excited for him because, I mean, you know, I don't think people realize he's 31.
Profar?
Yeah. He's not a young
guy. I know
guy.
He debuted at 19, but so it makes sense, but it just, yeah. that's crazy to
he's
me.
He's 31 years old. It has taken 12 years for him to begin to fulfill the promise that was expected of him when A.J. Preller brought him to the Texas Rangers from Curaçao as a 19-year-old player. I mean, when he came to the major leagues from Curaçao, it's 2012, Scraby.
I know.
You know, he played 9 games that year, but this is, you know, the feeble beginnings of Jurickson Profar as a 19-year-old from Curaçao. AJ Preller, who does, you know, say all you want about AJ, this, that, and the other, does a good job of finding kids from these, you know, Caribbean, Dominican Republic type nations.
He's known, yeah.
Right? Fernando is another one. Now, he traded for Fernando, but he finds these guys. But he was, you know, basically for at least the first 5 years, if we were down in Dallas, we would have been saying, hey, whatever happened to that guy Profar that you told us was going to be so great?
Well, here he is.
His first 4 years, he hit 1 home run, 6 home runs, did not play the whole year in 2014, then hit 5 home runs and no home runs. The guy hit 12 homers his first 5 years combined.
That's crazy.
Then he hit 20 in 2018, and the Rangers were so excited by that, they finally traded him away to the Oakland A's, and he hit 20 again. And that's when Preller reacquired him. It's kind of hard to believe that he's been here now for 5 years.
It is. It does.
He came in 2020.
Well, he went to Colorado, remember?
Yes, there was a stop in Colorado last year before he returned. But the kind of success that he's having now, it's mind-blowing compared when you look at a 721 career OPS, and this year 898.
I have to
unreal.
Shout out
real.
That is unreal. I have to shout out Luis real quick because he said, "Look up his bases loaded statistics this year."
Oh, they're unbelievable. He's been up five times.
He's 5-for-5. Mm-hmm. He has 17 RBIs. He has 2 grand slams. His OPS is 3.6. Just through the roof stuff.
Yes, he's been up 5 times with the bases loaded this year. He has a 2-run double, another 2-run double, a 3-run double, and 2 grand slams. I mean, come on.
Those aren't solo shots.
No. Well, not with the bases loaded. And if you go back to last year, his last at-bat last year, he had a 2-run double. So he's actually had 6 consecutive hits totaling 19 RBIs with the bases loaded. Somebody figured out the only other person who's ever done that is Albert Pujols.
Oh, wow.
So he's in decent company there.
Yes, just decent company.
another highlight, bright light of today's game, Dylan Cease, where have you been? Right? I haven't seen that guy for a while. Not the guy who showed up today. 1 hit over 7 innings. Struck out, what, 8? Allowed 2 walks. I think he walked the same guy twice.
Did he strike out 9?
Did he strike out 9?
I'm not sure.
I mean, really.
I'm bad at that stuff.
I didn't look at the box score. I just know he had a bunch of them. But, you know, this is the kind of performance we can certainly use more of from Dylan Cease when you consider, you know, the fly on the wall. Or the elephant in the room.
What is that? Oh, the starting pitching?
The elephant in the room is that Darvish and Musgrove, we just don't know when they're coming back.
Well, the post-game, Mike Schilt did not have reassuring news about Yu Darvish.
No, he did not.
He didn't really have much to say about Yu Darvish, which is kind of concerning to me.
Yeah.
So, but also, like, I know we're on Dylan Cease right now, but Jurickson Profar, the Padres have a very important decision with him because he's only playing for $1 million this year. He's not coming back next year for $1 million. And so they're stuck in this same
spot. I say you sit him down next week. You don't wait around. You sit him down next week. You say, hey, Jurickson, you either sign for next year for $2 million. We'll double your salary.
No.
Hang on. I got an idea here.
Okay, sorry.
We either sign you for $2 million next year. We'll double your salary. Or we call them and we ship you back to Denver. He'll sign away right away.
He probably will.
He's not going to wait around. He'll like, where do I sign? No, you're right, Scraby. They're going to have to do something, and that's, you know, but that's down the road. I'm just going to enjoy what he's doing right now. And if you're the Padres, you should enjoy what he's doing right now. And you worry about, you know, what you're going to do in terms of, you know, him coming back next year proper time. I know you want to do it before the end of the season, but this is part of the business.
It is part of the business, so. But okay, back to Dylan Cease. Like, mm-hmm. The inconsistency doesn't really bother me because he has days like this. I mean, where do you fall on this? Obviously, you want him to be consistent, but would you rather him maybe, instead of going 7 and striking out 9 and giving up no hits, would you want him to average maybe 5 innings per start? Or do you just not care and you just want to see what he could do on a daily basis starting basis?
I think Dylan Cease just stays there and gives me 6-7 innings most nights. I mean, his last couple of starts, the pitch count got up. He got out of the game quickly. The Mets, they routed him. I mean, that was a bad day. The Brewers got to him, but he struck out 10. You know, but they got some runs off him and his pitch count got up again. But I think Dylan Cease is, especially with these injuries to Darvish and Musgrove, he's a key figure going forward. You've got to have him get 7 innings most times because somebody's got to be the one that gives the bullpen a rest day. And, you know, Vasquez is not yet that guy. Mazur, certainly not yet that guy. You know, Waldron's becoming that guy, but Cease has to be that guy going forward with this rotation, the way I see it right now. Michael King, I think, Michael King's almost as inconsistent as Cease is. They're very similar. They get a lot of strikeouts. They throw a lot of pitches.
Wouldn't you say Michael King has had a better year?
I don't know. Has he?
We're arguing about two pitchers who are having decent years and more than decent years.
Yeah. I mean, Cease is 7-6 with an ERA of about 4 now after today. What's Michael King?
I'm going to go look
pretty
it up.
Close.
Right now. Let's see.
5-5, 3.75. So, I mean, they're both similar. They're striking out a lot of guys. They have whips about the same. These guys are crucial, though, because somebody's got to pitch 7 innings once in a while. This bullpen can't just go out there and give you 4 innings every single night. So this road trip will be, you know, hate to say it, but there's a lot on the line in this road trip, Scrabe. We gotta come through here. We can't let the success of this homestand be wasted on another crappy road trip like the last one to New York and Philadelphia. And to that end, you're starting Vasquez, King, and Waldron. Who do you feel good about Sunday? Waldron, right?
I feel good about King and Waldron.
You do?
You know, Randy Vasquez is interesting because I had him on Fantasy Chris, on my fantasy team. I dropped him after the Phillies game because he gave up a bunch of runs.
Okay.
But he is a grinder because he might not produce a great shutdown start, but he does keep you in the game. And Randy Vasquez was never going to be a permanent solution to the rotation anyway. So at least you're getting a guy who's not putting you in terrible spots every time. I would say Adam Mazur's putting Padres in terrible spots every time he's out there so far. And I think it was like his 5th start of his career yesterday.
I got bad news for you.
Oh, no, what?
Some bad news.
What?
I just discovered.
Oh, no.
Tomorrow night game is on Apple TV Plus.
No, Friday night's game.
Friday night.
And I told you about this. Remember I said in the break that someone told me in the chat you can select the radio call of the team
Only if you subscribe to Apple TV.
Well, that's how you're going to watch the game anyway. So you could choose Tony and Jesse because Don and Mud aren't doing Friday's game.
Right. So the game's not on local TV.
That's the problem.
It's only on TV to people that have Apple TV. I think that's bad news.
And the other day I saw they popped up saying, oh, the MLB Roku Game of the Week is here. And it's like, wait, now I have to go to Roku to watch a game too? What's going on, Chris? What's going on?
I don't know. You got an hour to tell us. It's coming up next, the Scraby Chronicles. Thanks for hanging with us for just a bit. Padres beat the Nationals 8-5 today. Complete the sweep, 44-41 now. Don't forget to tune into the roundtable tomorrow morning at 10. All of us with an hour free, commercial-free Padre talk. But next, Scraby Chronicles. They go together like butter and toast. For Tony Gwynn and Mr. Scraby, Good night from Chrisella. All right, back here on Gwynn and Chris. Until the top of the hour, then Scraby takes over with the Scraby Chronicles. You get a show the next 2 days. Am I correct?
Do. Yes, I'm very excited about it.
Don't forget tomorrow morning to tune in at 10 a.m. Ben and Woods, Gwynn and Chris. I don't know if Tony will be with us.
I think it's just Chris because he's
probably
in Boston.
Just Chris, Annie and Elston, all of us together for the Padre Roundtable. It'll be an hour of commercial-free Padre talk. Tomorrow, I look forward to that. I'm excited to hear what everybody's take is on this three-game Padre sweep of the Nationals, which was completed today. NBA draft is underway. The fanfare for the NBA draft, I mean, they put it on ABC television tonight for the first round. I don't know just how nerdy NBA fans are. But I would think, and let's just use Tony as an example. Tony is a big-time NBA fan.
He loves it.
Loves it. I think I'm a pretty good fan. I like it.
You both like it a lot.
He likes it probably more than I do, but I like the NBA. I follow it very closely. 5 picks have been made in the first round. I've only heard of 2 of these guys. Actually, even ever heard of them. And neither of them are exactly household names. Reed Shepard was taken with the 3rd pick. He's a guard out of Kentucky. He went to the Rockets. Stephon Castle, who I only remember because he played against the Aztecs this year in the NCAA tournament.
Right. That's right.
For UConn, went to San Antonio with the 4th pick. But the other picks are foreign players and G League players. And that's great if you are beyond a nerd and you know who these guys are, but the NBA draft has lost me completely.
Me too.
I mean, you know, if nothing else, they need to hire the basketball version of Mel Kiper Jr. just to piss me off.
They have like Rose, right? they have all those guys.
Yeah, but those guys aren't blowhard, know everything's, you know, like Mel Kiper.
So maybe Mel Kiper does serve a purpose.
He does. He gets you to tune in because you can't stand the guy. Yeah. But the NBA needs somebody like that. This is really, you know, it's a big night for the kids, the families. I get all that. But for the casual fan, man, this NBA draft has lost me. Now, as far as the first round pick is concerned,
we've been hard at work.
We've really been hard at work on this guy. He was selected by the Atlanta Hawks. He's from France. He's a French professional basketball player. He was actually born in Spain. Grew up in Lyon, which is where I went on vacation last year.
Did you say hi?
I didn't know him. Okay. I never heard of him. Had no idea who he was, but he grew up in Lyon, France, where I happened to spend a little time last summer. His name is Zachary. We're pretty sure about that part. The second, his last name is spelled R-I-S-A-C-H-E-R. And I think if you look at that from the English way of looking at things, it comes out Risacher. But we know that's not right. So we looked it up, and we came up with 2 or 3 different pronunciations. We really haven't come up with the emphatic, you know, this is how it's pronounced. But it's looking like Rizache. Re, which is the R-I part. Za, S-A. And then C-H-E-R is pronounced Shay.
Oh, that's great, because I'm going to forget that tomorrow.
Yeah. So,
and
anyway,
I'll never hear from him again. He's not going to be Wembanyama.
Well, he's going to play for the Hawks, so you'll probably have to hear about him thanks to your guy, Adam Klug. But Zachary Rizache, at least as far as we can tell, is the way they pronounce it. And he was the number one pick in the draft. All right. We've got about 10 minutes left on the program. And, you know, I just want to talk again about Jerkson Profar and this guy and his ability to be there at every big moment. And, you know, I said it the other day on Tuesday's show that they should have never walked Arise in the first place to face him Monday night just because of the kind of season he's having. And then last night, just right in the middle of all of the crazy stuff that happened in the bottom of the first inning, and then finishes it with a grand slam. And I don't know what else this guy can do.
Well, he's already locked up his starting spot.
He's got to be, right? The starter in the All-Star game at this point.
He just keeps producing. He keeps doing things that are winning the Padres games.
Yeah. He's going to be the starter in the All-Star game for sure. That is so well-deserved. Really excited for him because, I mean, you know, I don't think people realize he's 31.
Profar?
Yeah. He's not a young guy.
I know he debuted at 19, but so it makes sense, but it just, yeah. that's crazy to me.
He's 31 years old. It has taken 12 years for him to begin to fulfill the promise that was expected of him when A.J. Preller brought him to the Texas Rangers from Curaçao as a 19-year-old player. I mean, when he came to the major leagues from Curaçao, it's 2012, Scraby.
I know.
You know, he played 9 games that year, but this is, you know, the feeble beginnings of Jurickson Profar as a 19-year-old from Curaçao. A.J. Preller, who does, you know, say all you want about A.J., this, that, and the other, does a good job of finding kids from these, you know, Caribbean, Dominican Republic type nations.
He's known, yeah.
Right? Fernando is another one. Now, he traded for Fernando, but he finds these guys. But he was, you know, basically for at least the first 5 years, if we were down in Dallas, we would have been saying, hey, whatever happened to that guy Profar that you told us was going to be so great?
Well, here he is.
His first 4 years, he hit 1 home run, 6 home runs, did not play the whole year in 2014, then hit 5 home runs and no home runs. The guy hit 12 homers his first 5 years combined.
That's crazy.
Then he hit 20 in 2018, and the Rangers were so excited by that, they finally traded him away to the Oakland A's, and he hit 20 again. And that's when Preller reacquired him. It's kind of hard to believe that he's been here now for 5 years.
It is. It does.
He came in 2020.
Well, he went to Colorado, remember?
Yes, there was a stop in Colorado last year before he returned. But the kind of success that he's having now, it's mind-blowing compared when you look at a 721 career OPS and this year 898.
I have to
unreal.
Shout out
real.
That is unreal. I have to shout out Luis real quick because he said look up his bases loaded statistics this year.
Oh, they're unbelievable. He's been up five times.
He's 5-for-5. Mm-hmm. He has 17 RBIs. He has 2 grand slams. His OPS is 3.6. Just through the roof stuff.
Yes, he's been up 5 times with the bases loaded this year. He has a 2-run double, another 2-run double, a 3-run double, and 2 grand slams. I mean, come on.
Those aren't solo shots.
No. Well, not with the bases loaded. And if you go back to last year, his last at-bat last year, he had a 2-run double. So he's actually had 6 consecutive hits totaling 19 RBIs with the bases loaded. Somebody figured out the only other person who's ever done that is Albert Pujols.
Oh, wow.
So he's in decent company there.
Yes, just decent company.
another highlight, bright light of today's game, Dylan Cease, where have you been? Right? I haven't seen that guy for a while. Not the guy who showed up today. 1 hit over 7 innings. Struck out, what, 8? Allowed 2 walks. I think he walked the same guy twice.
Did he strike out 9?
Did he strike out 9?
I'm not sure.
I mean, really.
I'm bad at that stuff.
I didn't look at the box score. I just know he had a bunch of them. But, you know, this is the kind of performance we can certainly use more of from Dylan Cease when you consider, you know, the fly on the wall or the elephant in the room.
What is that? Oh, the starting pitching?
The elephant in the room is that Darvish and Musgrove, we just don't know when they're coming back.
Well, the post game, Mike Schilt did not have reassuring news about Yu Darvish.
No, he did not.
He didn't really have much to say about Yu Darvish, which is kind of concerning to me.
Yeah.
So, but also, like, I know we're on Dylan Cease right now, but Jurickson Profar, the Padres have a very important decision with him because he's only playing for $1 million this year. He's not coming back next year for $1 million. And so they're stuck in this same spot.
I say you sit him down next week. You don't wait around. You sit him down next week. You say, hey, Jurickson, you either sign for next year for $2 million. We'll double your salary.
No.
Hang on. I got an idea here.
Okay, sorry.
We either sign you for $2 million next year. We'll double your salary. Or we call them and we ship you back to Denver. He'll sign away right away.
He probably will.
He's not going to wait around. He'll like, where do I sign? No, you're right, Scraby. They're going to have to do something, and that's, you know, but that's down the road. I'm just going to enjoy what he's doing right now. And if you're the Padres, you should enjoy what he's doing right now. And you worry about, you know, what you're going to do in terms of, you know, him coming back next year.
But
at the proper time. I know you want to do it before the end of the season, but you only this is part of the business.
It is part of the business, so. But okay, back to Dylan Cease. Like, mm-hmm. The inconsistency doesn't really bother me because he has days like this. I mean, where do you fall in this? Obviously, you want him to be consistent, but would you rather him maybe, instead of going 7 and striking out 9 and giving up no hits, would you want him to average maybe 5 innings per start? Or do you just not care and you just want to see what he could do on a daily basis starting basis?
I think Dylan Cease just stays there and gives me 6-7 innings most nights. I mean, his last couple of starts, the pitch count got up. He got out of the game quickly. The Mets, they routed him. I mean, that was a bad day. The Brewers got to him, but he struck out 10. You know, but they got some runs off him and his pitch count got up again. But I think Dylan Cease is, especially with these injuries to Darvish and Musgrove, he's a key figure going forward. You've got to have him get 7 innings most times because somebody's got to be the one that gives the bullpen a rest day. And,
true.
You know, Vasquez is not yet that guy. Mazur, certainly not yet that guy. You know, Waldron's becoming that guy, but Cease has to be that guy going forward with this rotation, the way I see it right now. Michael King, I think, is, you know, Michael King's almost as inconsistent as Cease is. They're very similar. They get a lot of strikeouts, lot of pitches.
Wouldn't you say Michael King has had a better year?
I don't know, has he?
I mean, we're arguing about two pitchers who are having decent years and more than decent years.
Yeah. I mean, Cease is 7-6 with an ERA of about 4 now after today. What's Michael King?
I'm going to go look
pretty
it up.
Close.
Right now. Let's see.
5-5, 3.75. So, I mean, they're both similar. They're striking out a lot of guys. They have whips about the same. These guys are crucial, though, because somebody's got to pitch 7 innings once in a while. This bullpen can't just go out there and give you 4 innings every single night. So this road trip will be, you know, it's hate to say it, but there's a lot on the line in this road trip, Scrabe. We gotta come through here. We can't let the success of this homestand be wasted on another crappy road trip like the last one to New York and Philadelphia. And to that end, you're starting Vasquez, King, and Waldron. Who do you feel good about Sunday? Waldron, right?
I feel good about King and Waldron.
You do?
You know, Randy Vasquez is interesting because I had him on Fantasy Chris, on my fantasy team. I dropped him after the Phillies game because he gave up a bunch of runs.
Okay.
But he is a grinder because he might not produce a great shutdown start, but he does keep you in the game. And Randy Vasquez was never going to be a permanent solution to the rotation anyway. So at least you're getting a guy who's not putting you in terrible spots every time. I would say Adam Mazur's putting Padres in terrible spots every time he's out there so far. And I think it was like his 5th start of his career yesterday.
I got bad news for you.
Oh, no. What?
Some bad news.
What?
I just discovered.
Oh, no.
Tomorrow night game is on Apple TV Plus.
No, Friday night's game.
Friday night.
And I told you about this. Remember I said in the break that someone told me in the chat you can select the radio call of the team
Only if you subscribe to Apple TV.
Well, that's how you're going to watch the game anyway. So you could choose Tony and Jesse because Don and Mud aren't doing Friday's game.
Right. So the game's not on local TV.
That's the problem.
It's only on TV to people that have Apple TV. I think that's bad news.
And the other day I saw they popped up saying, oh, the MLB Roku Game of the Week is here. And it's like, wait, now I have to go to Roku to watch a game too? What's going on, Chris? What's going on?
I don't know. You got an hour to tell us. It's coming up next, the Scraby Chronicles. Thanks for hanging with us for just a bit. Padres beat the Nationals 8-5 today. Complete the sweep, 44-41 now. Don't forget to tune into the roundtable tomorrow morning at 10. All of us with an hour free, commercial free Padre talk. But next, Scraby Chronicles. They go together like butter and toast. For Tony Gwynn and Mr. Scraby, good night from Chris Ello.